Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us Davon Kleist, who, of course, has done a wonderful video. He and, of course, is married to Joyce Riley, certainly one of our favorite guests. But this is the first time we've really had a chance to interview Dave, who has worked putting together a video on what really happened on September 11th, 2001. Now, we've had the 9/11 Commission report, but you have to understand the president opposed this. Oh, we can't have another investigation. Why? It could be used politically. It'll detract us from our war on terrorism. After all, we've got to get Osama bin Laden. We've got to get those wicked terrorists before we get us. We cannot have certainly another investigation. And then when it became obvious they were going to have an investigation, the president said, all right, well, then I will pick the head of the commission, and I will, of course, make sure that you have to have at least six people before you can have any subpoena and any testimony, and I will determine the rules, and we won't give you very much time, and we won't give you very much money, and you go ahead and try and investigate when we won't give you most of the information. And they, of course, really what they did, this commission was a joke. It was designed to fail. What they did was they would not allow anybody who really knew what happened to testify publicly. They went in, and Peter Lance, I talked to just recently, he went in. There were two people there. They didn't take any, there was no video cameras. There were no stenographers there. There were no recording machines. A couple of fellas just talked to him, said that they'd make a report out later, thanked him very much. He knew all about Project Bajinka, the fact that they were planning on it hitting the World Trade Center, and the FBI knew that. But that was never going to be brought out on the 9/11 Commission report. And that's why it's so important we have somebody like Dave, who's done a very careful study of the material that is readily available. And if the 9/11 Commission wanted to learn the truth, why, they should have seen Dave Von Kleist's video. Dave, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me on the program today.
Well, let's tell us, our listeners, just a little bit about what you have done and how you put together this video.
Well, very basically, this video focuses exclusively on video footage that was broadcast on September 11th or shortly afterwards, and never again. Some of the pieces you have seen again and again and again and again. And this is why we call the video presentation 9/11 in plain sight, because many of these clips have been in plain sight. In fact, many of your listeners out there right now were videotaping on September 11th and probably have several of these clips on their videotape and have never taken the time or noticed what they show. And a couple of the clips are, well, the main clip is actually the strike of the plane hitting the South Tower. Now, many of us saw that plane as it barreled in, and the angle in specifically that I'm talking about is the one where the plane flies overhead as if it comes over your left shoulder and then barrels right into the tower. And the amazing thing is that if you take that one clip and slow it down and take a look at it very carefully, you'll notice two very interesting things that are not consistent with a terrorist hijacking.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to let the listeners of this part of the portion go. We're going to bring some other listeners on, and we'll sort of introduce that concept. And then in about 3 minutes, we'll have everybody back together, and we'll proceed for the rest of the hour. Our guest is Davon Kleist, and you're going to be fascinated by his discussion today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, our guest today is Dave Von Kleist, who's certainly put together one of the most amazing videos I've seen, and certainly something that is very, very hard to dispute, and it deals with what happens on 911. Now, Dave, you can go ahead and just repeat what you were just telling me about the footage that you have.
Right. Well, again, we called this video 9/11 in plain sight simply because most of the video clips included in this video presentation are literally that, in plain sight. And we saw many of these clips over and over again, but were never shown these clips in slow motion. Now, we have to ask the question, how is it possible that we get to see basketball plays and baseball plays, football, we get to see slow motion footage of all kinds of things, but when it came to the attacks on September 11th, well, of course, they don't even show those on television anymore because George Bush basically went on TV, as I recall, and made a statement similar to, we can't show these attacks on America no more because America needs time to heal. So since that time, they don't show the actual strikes. But many people have these videos because they were videotaping on September 11th. And in particular, the one clip or the one shot, if you will, of the plane hitting the tower as if it was coming over your left shoulder, if you take that one video clip and slow it down and look at it frame by frame and scrutinize it very carefully, you'll find two very interesting things indeed that are absolutely inconsistent with the report that this was the result of a terrorist hijacking. Now, there are folks out there that are going to say, oh, this sounds like another conspiracy theory to me, and I challenge these people, before you dispel what I'm saying, I challenge you to either take a look at the video that you have, or if you don't have a video, you can go online to Amazon.com, or you can go to Borders Bookstores or Barnes & Noble, and you can buy a copy of the DVD that's been released from CNN. The name of the DVD is America Remembers. And that very clip that we're talking about is in the first chapter of the DVD at 7 minutes and 35 seconds.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dave Von Kleist, and he's telling us that, you know, if you want to see this clip elsewhere, you can see it on the CNN America Remembers video or DVD that you can buy at Borders or Amazon.com. But, of course, what he has done on his video is to slow it down. And, of course, that's where you really begin to see something a little bit strange, something you would not expect. And, of course, we've heard this from other sources, but it is shown so vividly on Dave's videos. So pick up this story, Dave.
Right. Well, I was my attention was drawn to this issue by a website that's been out there for a little while. I believe it was April 15th when I first saw it, and that it's called Let'sRoll911.org, and it has been posted by a gentleman by the name of Phil Jahan, who's been a guest on our program a couple of times, and he had proposed through a very fuzzy picture on his website that it was a missile that was mounted in a pod on the bottom of the plane that struck the tower just as the plane was about to hit it. And I looked at this, and I indeed was very skeptical because there's a lot of strange stuff on the Internet, manipulated photos, etc., etc. So I went to the DVD that I'd purchased shortly after September 11th at the supermarket checkout, and many people saw the magazines and these DVDs, commemorative editions. And the DVD that I'm referring to is entitled America Remembers, and it was made, of course, by CNN. And if you go to that DVD, and again, you could buy this at Borders, you could buy it at Barnes & Noble, you can go online and order it at Amazon.com. And if you go to the first chapter and go to the 7-minute and 35-second spot and slow it down, look at it very slowly and examine it closely, you will see that there is irrefutably something very big attached to the bottom of the plane.
It's sort of like a pod there, and certainly I know Joel Skousen has talked about that many times.
Right.
You can actually see something on the bottom of the plane, which you don't see on airplanes. This is not a regular passenger plane.
Absolutely. And the problem here is that if you do a search on the Internet, and, you know, the Internet is a marvelous tool. I mean, some people hate it, but it could very well be seen as a necessary evil. You can do a search online for 767 and grab photographs, and you can take a look at hundreds of photographs of 767s and look at the bottom of the plane, and you will find that the bottom of a 767 is supposed to be just as smooth as a baby's bottom. But when you look at this photograph, there is undoubtedly something very big, maybe 12 feet or 16 feet in length, attached to the lower right side of this plane that hits the Pentagon. And on top of that, just before the plane strikes the building, there is a bright flash. Now, some people have seen this flash, and they say, well, that could be a reflection of the sun, of some sort of reflection. Well, no, it couldn't, because the plane struck the building on the shadowed side. And so there was no sun hitting the plane at that particular point. And also, you can't have a reflection from several different angles. We were able to obtain this event from four different camera angles, one from CNN, one from ABC, one from the German television network, and another from an independent filmmaker. So we have four different angles from four different cameras showing the exact same event, and that is a flash just before the plane barrels into the building, just as the plane is about to make contact or just about the same time. Now, others would say, well, that would probably be sparks caused from the metal hitting the concrete. Or maybe it was a static discharge as the plane made contact. No, it can't be that either. Because in one of the camera angles, it is very clear that the flash occurs just to the right and lower side of the fuselage, which just so happens to be directly in line with the pod, if you will. Not only that, but in this one particular angle, you can actually see a reflection of this flash in the fuselage of the plane, which indicates very clearly and irrefutably that the flash and the contact of the plane are two separate events. Now, this is all in regard to the second plane hitting the second tower. Just for confirmation, we went to the only footage known of the first plane hitting the first tower. And, of course, that footage we've all seen of the firefighters in the street, and the camera, you hear the plane fly over, and the camera pans up and to the left just in time to catch the plane hitting the first tower. Now, the interesting thing about this, when you slow this footage down, it also shows a flash. But the flash, in this case, occurs before the plane strikes the building. So either way, we have to ask the question, what does a pod attached to the belly of a plane and a flash as the plane is about to make contact with the building, not in one but in both cases of the World Trade Center, what does the flash and the pod have to do with a terrorist attack? And the answer is absolutely nothing.
And, of course, I think one of the most impressive parts of the sequence is the remarks by the employee of Fox Network, who's actually talking. You don't see him, but you hear his voice over on one of the clips. Do you want to tell about that? Because he saw the plane hit the South Tower, and he got a good look at the plane, and there was something very unusual about this so-called passenger plane.
Yes, indeed. You're referring, of course, to Mark Birnbach, who was a Fox employee, who had just gotten off the subway in Brooklyn. And he'd gotten off the subway, and according to his testimony, of course, this was on Fox Television Network, and we obtained this clip. And what happened here is Mr. Birnbach said, yes, I just saw this plane. I can't believe what I've just seen. He said that this plane had no windows. That's right, it definitely had no windows. It had a blue logo in the front. And then the network anchor jumps in there. He says, well, you know, if that's the case, these could have been transport planes of some sort, or large planes, maybe airliners. And you're saying, Mark, that the plane had no windows? And he says, yes, the plane had no windows.
The plane had no windows. Now, right. Every passenger plane has windows. So if this is a passenger plane, is this is really flight, 175, why doesn't it have any windows?
Well, that's just it. This began another search. So we decided to start searching through the net, and we punched in a Google search, and we did 767, and we punched in tanker. And we were able to come up with a couple of photographs, one of which is of a 767 Boeing tanker that was made by Boeing for the United States Air Force. It is identical to a 767, only that it has no windows. So we've included that photograph in there, and I realize what the implications here. The implications are absolutely staggering. Because if what we're seeing is true, and again, this is not my opinion. I made it very clear in the beginning of this presentation on the video to let folks know that what you are seeing is video footage. We offer no conclusions, and we simply present the evidence and the information and let you decide for yourself.
Well, there was another woman, another clip, of where the woman sees the plane hitting and says, what did she say, that isn't a passenger plane, and what was it?
Well, apparently this was video footage, apparently. Now, we obtained this particular piece of footage from a group called Camera Planet in New York. And what they do, basically, is they buy footage from networks and from independent filmmakers and even from amateur photographers to compile, and then they go ahead and they get releases for folks like us that want to use productions, and that's how they make their money and do business. And this one particular clip, I'd have to give this a little bit of a background. Apparently, many people, of course, when this was occurring in New York, all the radio stations, everybody went live with live coverage. And this one video clip was apparently taken from Brooklyn, and it showed the first tower in flames. And again, this is apparently taken before the second strike. And people were screaming, obviously, and you could hear in the background, you know, people, of course, hollering, and you can hear a radio on or something like that, and maybe somebody had a TV or a radio on. But then you hear a woman screaming, that was not an American Airlines, that was not an American Airlines. And, of course, it was reported that it was Flight 11, an American Airlines 767, that had struck the North Tower, and that was the first strike. So apparently what this woman was screaming is, after hearing this on the radio that they reported it was an American airliner, she was screaming, that was not an American Airlines, that was not an American Airlines. So she was referring to the first plane. Now, the second plane, of course, was the one that Mark Birnbach was referring to. So we have two different testimonies referring to two different planes, both giving the same indication that these were not your standard airliners. There was something different about these. And we obtained the photograph, obviously, from the Internet of a 767 with no windows. So the implications here are absolutely staggering. What this means is that the information about Osama bin Laden and the Taliban that was posted, well, not posted, but broadcast on all of the networks shortly after the strikes and before the towers even came down. In fact, Stan, I remember that MSNBC and ABC both almost simultaneously began broadcasting the file footage, the stock footage of Osama bin Laden at the same time. And we've all seen the footage. Osama with a walkie-talkie. Osama walking with a stick. Osama firing a gun. Osama with a walkie-talkie. Osama with a stick. Osama with a gun. Osama with a stick. Osama with a gun. Osama with a walkie-talkie over and over again.
Almost like somebody was creating a reality. Of course, you know, but I think even, well, there's so much more we'll talk about when we get back here with Dave Van Cliston. Dave, do you want to tell people how they can get the video?
Absolutely. You can call 877-817-9829. Now, the offices are closed now, but if you call from 8 to 5 Central Time, you call 877-817-9829. And we're asking a donation of $15 plus $5 shipping.
All right, fine. Well, it's an excellent video. I recommend it. You want to see it. You want to question it. And then there's some topic of Building 7 coming down. That is one of the most incredible bits of footage that you have. We'll be back in just a moment here with Dave Van Cliste right here at Radio Liberty. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. 4,000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. 9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Dave von Kleist from the Power Hour, and we're talking about this great video he's put together. Now, one of the more interesting questions that people, well, most people don't like to ask, because to think that we might not have gotten the whole truth is to, think the unthinkable. But building number 7, now remember, building number 7 was separated from the Twin Towers by another building, and of course building number 7, for some reason or other, got fires at several levels in the building. Now, of course, it was about later in the afternoon, early evening, when they pulled all of the firemen out of the building, and they said, we're going to... the building is going to come down. And then, of course, we witnessed the building come down as if there were explosives right at the bottom. Now, this was entirely different than any of the other buildings. There's something you just, it was looked to see exactly like the buildings that come down in, say, Las Vegas when they're taking a hotel down. But you have a clip from Mr. Silverstein, who owned the World Trade Center. What was that all about?
Yes, we did. And that was on a PBS special. And for the life of me, the name of the television program is escaping me at the moment. But it was on PBS. And they, Larry Silverstein was discussing his decision to pull Building 7. He said something along the lines that there was such tremendous loss of life that they had made the decision to pull it.
How would they pull Building 7? That almost sounds like they were intentionally taking the building down.
Well, that's exactly right, Stan, is that the term pull it is used specifically by people that do controlled demolitions. Now, before we even talk about that, you just mentioned that Building 7 was separated from the two towers by Building 6. Now, Building 6 obviously was hit by debris and was heavily damaged. But what's very interesting is that when you look at the video footage that they had of Building 7 just as it was coming down, you'll note that there was very little damage to that building at all. And in the photographs that were taken of Building 7, you can see that there were fires in the floors about a third of the way up in the building. Now, that would be around the 25th, 26th, 27th floor, which just so happens to be the floors where the FEMA offices were and all the other security offices for New York City. Now, I have a question right here. How is it possible, if Building 7 suffered very little damage, I'm not saying it didn't suffer any damage, but it suffered very little damage that is discernible from all the photographs and video footage taken, how is it possible if debris falling from the collapse of the towers would only affect the floors on the lower third of the building and leave the upper floors fairly intact and fire-free? This does not seem to make sense.
And the other thing that bothers me, Dave, is, I mean, there have been lots of major buildings that have been, been involved with major fires.
Mm-hmm.
How many of them have been taken down the very day of the fire? In other words, and how would you get the explosives in there, within an hour or so? And it takes a long time to plan to take a building down. You have to know where the major supports are. You
That's
bring
exactly
in the explosives.
Right.
Are you going to bring explosives into a burning building? Doesn't make sense.
It couldn't be done, because if you're going to demolish a building, of course you have to do a structural analysis and study the beams, and the girders, et cetera, figure out which ones are going to have to be destroyed, in which order they have to be destroyed. Then you have to bring in a team of experts, and they have to plant the charges. They have to wire them in sequence. And then after they've done all of this, then they can, quote-unquote, pull a building down. So how is this possible that this was done 8 hours after the surprise attacks in the morning, during all of the havoc that was going on? It's obvious. I mean, there was no way that they could bring in these people, do all this stuff, and then pull it. The only way that this could be done is if the charges had already been in place in Building 7. And then we have to ask the common sense, no-brainer question: if they had demolition charges in place in Building 7, could it possibly be that they had charges in place in Building 6 or 5 or 4 or the North Tower or the South Tower? And I think the answer is obvious.
And I think, of course, you'll see Mr. Silverstein, and I think he's saying that they contacted him. I don't know who they were, but you remember the conversation better than I. You've seen it many times. What did they say to him? I was contacted, and they said that they were going to pull Building 7, something of the sort.
Yes, he said that they had seen such tremendous loss of life, and so they had made the decision to pull Building 7.
Isn't that interesting? And what does loss of life have to do with taking Building 7 down on the very day of the attack? And
it's called destroying the evidence.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment with Dave Van Kleisen. We're going to welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're going to get one video, you'll want to get this one. And you want to get it from Dave at 877-817-9829.
would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, that we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. And those fellas just keep wanting to play those songs over and over again. Let's go to Ralph from Oklahoma. Hi, Ralph. How are you doing?
Yes, Dr. Stan and Dave. I got a real simple question. I can take it off the air.
Mm-hmm.
What's the latest guess on the passengers, where they went to?
Well, that's the question that everybody asks. They figure they ask, well, if the plane... that's the other thing we didn't get into. If the plane didn't hit the Pentagon, of course, that's another issue altogether. But if the planes that struck the towers were not commercial aircraft, well, then where did those aircraft go, and where did the passengers go? And the only answer that I have at this point, Ralph, is that if you have an unlimited black ops budget, they go anywhere you want them to. Now, this whole video presentation, this documentary, should serve as a springboard to begin an investigation. And when I say begin an investigation, let me basically lay down the scenario. I mean, in the real world, when a crime is committed and you call the police and they show up at the crime scene, the first thing that they do is they cordon off the area and they ask what happened. And when they get an idea of what happened, they begin to pick up evidence to try to figure out who did it. However, in the case of September 11th, here's what happened, is that they didn't cordon off the area, they didn't ask what happened. The first thing that they did was show up and tell everybody exactly what happened, and tell everybody that it was Osama and the Taliban that were guilty of these crimes. And then they went about creating the evidence to blame Osama and the Taliban. And let's keep in mind that on September 23rd of 2001, Condoleezza Rice went on television on a news conference, and she made the statement that they had definitive evidence that linked Osama bin Laden and the Taliban to the terrorist attacks of September 11th, and that they would release that information in due time. But to this day, there has not been one piece of evidence that ever linked or proved Osama or the Taliban's guilt to the events of September 11th. So what that means is that the government and the Bush administration had basically made a charge of conspiracy against Osama and the Taliban. But when you have no evidence, that means that it is a conspiracy theory. That's what a conspiracy theory is. So what that means is that we had not one, but two wars launched based upon a conspiracy theory. So, I mean, we have a horrendous situation right now, and America has got to wake up. I don't know where America's line in the sand is, but they better find it in a real hurry. Because there can be absolutely no doubt after watching this video, and Stan, I will tell you that we did a private screening before we released this. We had a very small group of people. We handed out questionnaires before people watched this documentary. And there were several questions. Of course, there's many questions in it, you know, maybe 10 or 15 questions, but there was one question we were looking for. And that question was, do you believe Osama bin Laden and the Taliban were responsible for crashing planes into targets on September 11th? And of course, the overwhelming of people before seeing this video responded by saying yes. However, after viewing this documentary, we passed out another questionnaire. And in that questionnaire, we had the same question. Do you believe Osama bin Laden and the Taliban were responsible for crashing planes into targets on September 11th? Overwhelmingly, the people said no. There is no doubt after you watch this that we have very serious doubts about the entire events of September 11th and who is waging war on whom.
All right. Anything else, Ralph?
That's pretty much it. One more thing.
Ralph, are you listed on 7.315 or 9.430?
9.430.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Let's go to Daryl calling from Pennsylvania. Daryl?
Hi, Dr. Stan and Dave. And I have the 70-minute video, 911 in plain sight, and I would urge all the Radio Liberty listeners to get it because it's very professionally and well-done production, and Dave Von Kleist and William Lewis really did a great job on this video. And for $20 postpaid, it's a great bargain. Plus, Dave allows folks to make copies from the video once you purchase it. So
right.
I would urge everyone to get it. And I don't want to call in and not tell everyone, Dr. Stan, to get your book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because we really do need to learn about the secret society's great influence on national and world affairs. And I just want to say thanks to both of you for all the great work that you do, and God bless you both.
Thanks so much, and let's go to Mark calling from Toledo, Ohio. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Dr. Stan. I just wanted to comment that yesterday, reluctantly, I went and saw Fahrenheit 9/11 by Michael Moore, only because so many people are talking about it. And one reason, or one thing I noticed from the film, was that it had very little to do with the Fahrenheit of 9/11. What I mean is that it had nothing to say about the fires in the Twin Towers. It had nothing to say about how the buildings came down. Zero on building number 7. It was just one of these little, you know, leftist propaganda films on how you can attack one side over the other.
Right, of course.
And it was very infantile, I thought, and the way the people stood up and cheered at the end of it, I thought was, pretty typical of the way the media focuses people's attention. What I'm trying to say is that had the Clinton Chronicles had the same attention 10 years ago, we could pretty much predict the result.
Okay. Do you have any comment on what the Mark is saying there, Dave?
Well, what he's saying is quite profound, because one thing I saw in the movie yesterday, in Fahrenheit 9/11, one thing he did show was a picture of the Pentagon. And in that Pentagon is huge, as you can see it on a great movie screen, is a very small area of the Pentagon that shows to be exploded. It doesn't look as if a huge plane went into it. Oh, that's all I can say, but that's what I saw.
Well, Mark, if you see this film of Dave, you'll see really how small a hole this really was, and there's no way that plane could have gone through that little small hole. But Dave, how would you like to respond to what Mark is saying?
Well, I've had a lot of people that have commented that, for instance, David Icke, who I'm sure you and the listeners have heard of, He made the comment that this video, of course he's referring to 911 in plain sight. He says this is the video, or I'm sorry, this is the film that Michael Moore should have done. Because you're right, I have not seen the Fahrenheit 9/11 film, but I've heard the same reports. By the way, they're not showing it here in our area. I'm hoping that I won't have to drive 2.5 or 3 hours to get to see it. I'm just waiting for it to come around locally, but I don't know if that's going to happen. Yes, I've heard the same thing, is that Michael Moore focuses more on the issues about what Bush didn't do, the standing down of the military on September 11th, and focus little on the actual events. Now, there are a lot of things that other researchers are doing. Of course, Eric Hufschmid has done a marvelous book called Painful Questions. His video documentary, Painful Deceptions, is very well done. Of course, Alex Jones has done his expose, Michael Rupert, Kyle Hentz. Many different people have done videos and books that cover different areas of research into September 11th. But this presentation that we put together, William Lewis and myself, focuses exclusively on the video evidence and what that in itself shows.
I think one of the most impressive things that you did, though, was to show the Pentagon, show the little tiny hole there, about 16 feet high and maybe, 10, 16 feet wide, and then show how big a 767 is next to that, and ask yourself, well, if the plane went in through the hole, what happened to the wings? What happened to the tail? I mean, exactly. Where did it all go? There wasn't room there for it all to fit inside.
Well, that's the whole point, is that the media told us all that the 767 had slammed into the Pentagon, and most of Americans have never seen the photographs that were taken before the Pentagon collapsed, nor have they seen the video footage that was taken, and it was broadcast live but never shown again, because it showed the Pentagon actually collapsing. The collapse did not occur until 35 minutes after the strike. Now, whatever the strike was, as the photographs indicate, it is extremely unlikely that it would have been a 757. In fact, that most people, after seeing those video clips and photographs, agree that it would be impossible for a 757 to slam into the Pentagon, leave a hole approximately 16 feet across, and absolutely no wreckage whatsoever that is recognizable of a 757. Couldn't happen. And this is exactly what we're seeing. So the people that have seen these photographs, and as you're well aware, Joyce has a lot of different contacts of people in the military, and our military contacts have looked at this damage and basically told us that there's only one thing that they could even think of that would create a hole that small, approximately 16 feet across, and pierce three rings of the Pentagon. And each ring has an inner and outer wall, each wall being approximately 18 inches thick of steel-reinforced concrete. So if you've got 18 inches on an inner and outer wall for each ring, that's 36 inches, or 3 feet. 3 feet times 3 rings is 9 feet of steel-reinforced concrete. There is not a 757 or a 67 or any other type of a commercial aircraft that these people have mentioned could possibly penetrate 9 feet of steel-reinforced concrete. And the only thing that could would be a missile.
And, of course, the other interesting thing is that, as you see, after the part of it is collapsed, it almost looks like they've been cutting charges. It's perfectly level at the point where the one wall of the Pentagon has come down, and it just looks like somebody just took a knife and sliced it. You wouldn't do that.
No, you're right, it wouldn't. But again, see, that was the other thing I wanted to be very careful about with this presentation, Stan, is that I did not want to go off into theorizing about what happened. I wanted to present the video evidence. I could make a couple of suggestions as to what possibly it could be, but we don't want to come to any conclusions.
I think that's
especially, there are so many different possibilities. This is why people say to me, well, Dave, you didn't cover Flight 93 that crashed in Shanksville. And I say, well, yes, that's right, I didn't, because there was absolutely no video footage that we could show that would engage us in any type of a conversation or thought about what possible alternative events could have occurred. So we did not focus in on Flight 93. We basically stayed on the video and photographic evidence that we had in regard to the Pentagon and, of course, the North and South Tower tragedies.
Well, I think, Dave, what they've done is they've given us so a much information. We're overloaded with information, and you can't really correlate it all. You can't compute it all. One or two issues is enough to make any thinking person realize that we're not getting the truth. The issue of the passports, one I love to use. I mean, how did the passport get out of the hijacker's pocket? The hijacker was on the plane, we're told, that crashed into the North Tower. So the plane gets out of his pocket, gets out of the flaming wreckage, gets out of the flaming building that the Inferno is able to melt the steel supports, we're told, and then drifts down and is found on the sidewalk two blocks away from the Pentagon in pristine condition. That's in the staff report. And almost a similar thing happened at the Flight 93 crash site in Pennsylvania. But, of course, that one was a little bit burned, but quite recognizable. And so we know exactly who the hijackers were on the planes because we have their passports. Now, what are the chances that it happened? One in a million? One in 100 million? One in 1,000 billion or trillion? I mean, I just don't believe this story. But if that story is not true, then somebody knew who these people were, forged their passports, and planted them as evidence. Now, who could possibly do such a dastardly deed? Now, let's go right now to Chris calling from Kentucky. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Dr. Stan, how you doing? How you doing?
Hey there.
This video makes a lot of sense. But like you said in the past, we don't know where the planes are at. We don't know what happened over Pennsylvania because there was no video footage. That there's somebody out there was behind it who will never admit it. That's the thing. The media says things. We're just trying to get the information out, what really happened. And when I looked at that, when I backed it up on the Pentagon, many times on your tape that I have, there was no wreckage, no seats, no wheels, right. No tail section, no wings, no nothing.
And how did it all get in that little tiny hole?
Exactly.
And of course, the wings would have sheared off, if you have to realize that. So anyway, anything else you want to say, Chris?
Well, I'd recommend that everyone get this film and get it out to people and educate.
All right, fine. How could people get that film again? Dave, give that number once again. And you can't call tonight. You're going to have to write it down and call in the morning.
Okay. You can call first thing in the morning. You can call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829.
Okay.
And I can give you a different number also. I believe that they will be able to answer there. It's 866-773-9469. But I think it would be better if you called the other number in the morning.
All right, fine. Anything else, Chris?
I just want to also say that, you know, this all this is happening. We go back to Oklahoma City back in 1993, the first attack, and throughout the Pearl Harbor and the Reichstag burning. History can repeat itself. It's government-sponsored terrorism.
There's nothing new under the sun.
Okay, God bless, my friend.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to Steve calling from Wisconsin. Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Real fine. I'd like to ask Dave a question, though. I understand what about Flight 93. There was no videotape available to analyze on this, but did you go out and try and talk to eyewitnesses by any chance?
Well, no, we didn't go out to talk to eyewitnesses, but there have been plenty of eyewitnesses that have been written about in magazines, newspapers, interviewed on radio, that have all said basically the same thing. And there is an update about that particular charge of the plane being shot down
right.
at Phil Jahan's website. And let me give that website very important information. His website is letsroll911.org. That's letsroll911.org. And, of course, the physical evidence that we do know about, of course, showed that Flight 93 was strewn over, the wreckage of Flight 93 was spread over an 8-mile area. Now, that in itself is inconsistent with a plane simply crashing into the ground. It would have had to been breaking up in flight, and for that to happen, it is most likely it would have been shot down. And so, yes, we are aware of the many different reports of people saying that they had seen this plane being shot down. And by the way, I have been informed that this phone number that we've got here is functional. So you can call if you'd like to get a copy of our film, 911 in plain sight. You can call right now at 866-773-9469.
Okay.
Once again, that's 866-773-9469. And we're asking a $15 donation plus $5 shipping. to get this video out. And please, make copies, donate them to the library, donate them to the local Ma and Pa video store, give one to the local police officer, fire chief, elected officials. We've got to get this word out, and we've got to do it fast, folks.
Amen.
Because this information proves irrefutably, with their own video documentation that you can verify with the CNN footage, that this was an inside job.
Okay, thanks very much, Steve. Let's go to Brian quickly. Brian, I have a quick question. We're almost out of time.
Yeah. What about the cell phone calls from the passengers on the flights?
All right, fine. Do you have any thoughts on that at all?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was just the New York Press has an article about the USA Today reporting a joint effort between Qualcomm and American Airlines to allow passengers to make cell phone calls from aircraft in flight, and it's called the PicoCell system. Up to now, according to this article, cell phone calls from airliners have been virtually impossible.
Isn't that interesting? Hey, Brian, thanks very much, and Dave, thank you so much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
And I look forward to it. We'll get you on our evening program. I want everybody to hear your story. God bless.
All right, thank you.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there has been the secret societies. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me mention a couple of books by my good friend Dr. Dennis Cuddy. One is called 911 Prior Knowledge. The other is called Cover Up. Did you know that there were an awful lot of children, they were mostly Pakistani and Arab children, from the neighborhood adjacent to the World Trade Center, who brought their cameras to school on September 11th because they knew the attack was coming? And this story was checked out by a reporter who was based there in New York. And this was common knowledge all throughout the Islamic community. Everybody knew the attack was coming, but aw shucks. Counterterrorism, the FBI that has $11 billion just to use on counterterrorism, had no idea what was going to happen that day, but the children had their own, they came with their cameras. And this story is told in Dennis Cuddy's two books. Let me recommend them to you. 911 Prior Knowledge, and of course, his other book entitled Cover Up. And we carry Dr. Cuddy's other books. We have, in fact, the best of Dennis Cuddy special with a lot of information. His books we offer, and Dr. Cuddy's book, Secret Records Revealed, is must reading. His book, Now is the Dawning of the New Age, New World Order, because that's what it's all about. The New World Order is coming, and there's only one book, apparently, in the Dennis Cuddy special, but you'll find that we do carry his books on the Road to Socialism, and we carry his little book on conspiracy. It's only 58 pages, but, of course, he gives you all the documentation and gives you the quotations from people like Woodrow Wilson, who talked about this force that was working behind the scenes, if you'd like that. A wonderful quotation from Woodrow Wilson. Why, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. That's the quotation from the book, The New Freedom. Well, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs and who believe that there's a problem to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us, because we're actually on the front lines of this battle 5 hours a day. You can hear us somewhere on the radio in America, 5 hours on the Internet every day, 4 hours on shortwave, 4 hours on satellite, hopefully soon to be available. 5 hours on satellite, but with our internet and shortwave, we can reach the entire country with the information you're not going to get from Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw. And your job is, of course, to tell others about our program. Your job is, if you can afford to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or at least subscribe to our newsletter. Now, you can go to our website at RadioLiberty.com and pull down our newsletter. It's up there, and we post them for the folks that just can't afford them, or some people actually go up and pull them down, and then they just send a donation in there. I think that you'll get tremendous insight to what's going on. Our May-June newsletter tells you who Osama bin Laden really is, and our July newsletter will be out very, very shortly, and tell you what really happened on the morning of September 11th, and about the smoking gun that nobody in the media wants to talk about, and you have to ask yourself, why? We hope that many of you, of course, will want to get the video that we're encouraging people to get. They sold their souls for rock and roll, either the 4-hour or the 10-hour version of that. One of the most important books we offer is called Foundations, Their Power and Influence. That's Foundations, Their Power and Influence. And we do hope you'll give us a call at 1-800-544 and order that. And you can also get my interview with Norman Dodd, who is the director of research for the Reese Committee. And of course, book Foundations, Their Power and Influence is the story of the Reese Committee that was commissioned by the 83rd Congress to investigate the great tax-exempt foundations, Rockefeller, Carnegie, and Ford. This is one of the most important books in my library, because you find out that these people of great wealth, these great tax-exempt foundations, were financing communism and socialism, and they were taking over control of our educational system and rewriting our textbooks and rewriting our encyclopedias and influencing every aspect of our society. And of course, who was the Secretary of State during the Kennedy administration, drew us into the Vietnam War? Well, his man was Dean Rusk. He was the president of the Rockefeller Foundation before he became Secretary of State. And when he left Washington, D.C. in 1967, where did he go back? President of the Rockefeller Foundation. The other important individual, McGeorge Bundy, who was the National Security Advisor, who got us into the Bay of Pigs and got us into Vietnam. Where did he go? He went to the Ford Foundation. You can't understand anything going on today unless you understand the story told in Foundations, Their Power and Influence. The book has been suppressed for many years. We've republished it. So you want to get Foundations, Their Power and Influence. You want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and you can get that by itself or with a video and the audio tape as a Brotherhood of Darkness special for $29.95. That's Foundations, Their Power and Influence, Brotherhood of Darkness. We hope that many of you, of course, will want to get the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence. You'll want to get the video entitled They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, either the 4-hour or the 10-hour version. I'll tell you, the people who've seen this, well, it's had a profound impact on them. And a lot of children who are into the rock music, they don't see anything wrong with it until they find out about Sergeant Pepper and the Lonely Hearts Band and the Star Way to Heaven. We've got a great book entitled by Thomas Friend, Fallen Angel, going into the Led Zeppelin rock group. It was satanic. It's all satanic. They were all Crowleyites. You want to get our 4 tapes out on Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley was a Satanist. And, of course, he was the inspiration for the Beatles and for Marilyn Manson and for Ozzy Osbourne and for the Led Zeppelins and for Timothy Leary and for Alfred Kinsey. And you can't understand anything unless you understand the other Loch Ness monster, Aleister Crowley. And of course, we ask you to pray for America. First of all, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and pray for America, pray for revival, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection till tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.